It's always difficult as a preacher to, you have these crazy moments with the Lord and you go and you have a meeting like we had last week. And as surfers, we have this saying as a surfer, you had to be there yesterday. You know, it's like one of those things. You just had to be there. I can't explain to you how good the waves were, but you had to be there yesterday. And I think Sunday was one of those meetings. You just had to be there on Sunday to experience what the Holy Spirit was doing. So what we try and do most often is we try and manufacture something that will equal what happened last week. And I can't. I promise you, I can't. I wish I can manufacture any of these things. I would be a rich man. I would write books. And I would ride a Maserati most probably and live in a big house. But I don't. I don't know how to capture these things. I don't know how to bottle them and put a label on it. I don't know how to. Because the Holy Spirit is like the wind out there. He says he will blow where he desires to blow and how he wants to blow. And we as a people just need to stay in step with him. So last week we started looking at the Holy Spirit. Who is he? Who is the Holy Spirit? I do think that the Holy Spirit is most probably the most neglected of the Trinity. I want to make that statement. If you pray, how often do you refer to Holy Spirit? We refer to the Father, we refer to Jesus. And I think we forget that the Holy Spirit is just this extra force, this just byproduct and you know, he's just there. You see, the Spirit, I want to say this and I want to make this statement. The Holy Spirit was not sent merely to make up for Jesus leaving. The Holy Spirit wasn't just sent because Jesus was like, hey, I'm going to go. I've got to go. And then I'm going to send you a helper, the comforter. John 16 tells us. He wasn't an afterthought. In acts of fact, the Bible says, one that is equal with me. In acts of fact, the Holy Spirit didn't just come and just take over the job that Jesus finished or kind of started here. And now Jesus is gone and it's just, no, my friends. The Holy Spirit came to exponentially bring growth in what Jesus has started. The job of the Holy Spirit was to come and bring exponential growth. Not just a little bit, just to maintain things that Jesus has did. And then when Jesus comes back, he'll take over the job again. To multiply exponentially Jesus' impact on the earth. He was sent to run the show. The Holy Spirit is in charge. And I think we forget that. I think we forget that the Holy Spirit is the one that's in charge. He runs this operation called the church. The Bible says he is Sleutel. Really Sleutel. He's got the key. John. He's got the key. Sorry. Jesus has got the keys to the kingdom. Just by the way. Yeah, definitive. He is in charge. He is the wisdom. The Holy Spirit is the power. We don't need marketing plans in our churches. And I think a lot of our times that we have is that we have these dream times in our churches as leadership teams. And we want to cast vision and we want to do all these wonderful things. But we don't include the Holy Spirit. He is the inventiveness in our meetings. He is the best marketing that you can have. If you want to market anything in the church, bring the Holy Spirit in. Because he is building the church. He's the perfect plan. There's not a better plan than the Holy Spirit. Bible says many are the plans in the man's heart, but it's God's purpose for that man that will prevail. Many, we have many plans and we try and we do things and we think, oh, even if only I had a better building, if only I had better sound system, if only I had better lights or whatever, that will draw more people. No, my friends, the Holy Spirit is the perfect plan. He is the force. Quote Star Wars, the force be with you. He is the force for church growth. He is the force for evangelism. Can you see that without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing? 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 4 says this, and my speech and my message, Paul writing to the Corinthian church, were not in plausible words of wisdom. He says, it's not my wisdom. It's not my wonderful. But in demonstration of the Spirit and of power. It's not just about words. We can wax lyrical about a lot of things. We can put up beautiful sermons together. But Paul says, I don't want to just talk. There must be a demonstration of the Spirit within the life of the church. A.W. Tozer said this, we may as well face it. The whole level of spirituality amongst us is low. We have measured ourselves by ourselves until the incentive to seek higher plateaus in the things of the Spirit is all but gone. We have imitated the world, sought popular favor, manufactured delights to substitute for the joy of the Lord and produced a cheap synthetic power to substitute for the power of the Holy Ghost. I don't want to manufacture a cheap imitation. I don't want you to just have goosebumps when you walk out there because Monday morning is going to hit you like a ton of bricks between the eyes. And you need to be ready. But you won't be ready if you don't have the Holy Spirit. You won't. The distinction is always the Holy Spirit upon your life, leading you, guiding you into all truth. John 16 verse 13 says this. When the Spirit of truth comes, doesn't say that, then Stephen will guide you into all the truth. No, he says the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak and he will declare to you the things that are to come. I don't know what your future holds, but I do know who holds your future. The Holy Spirit. He's the guide. See, the Spirit is in charge. Or is he? I want to ask. Is he leading you into all truth? Is he leading our church into all truth? I posted something this morning on my Facebook page. I want to read this to you. John Stott. I love John Stott. You want to read John Stott, The Cross of Christ, wonderful book. John Stott said this, he says, without the Holy Spirit, Christian disciples would be inconceivable, even impossible. He says, without the Holy Spirit, you can't have Christian disciples. There can be no life without the life giver. There can be no understanding without the Spirit of truth. There can be no fellowship without the unity of the Spirit. There can be no Christ-likeness of character apart from his fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And there can be no effective witness without his power. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Spirit is dead. As a body without breath is a corpse, so the church without the Holy Spirit is dead. We need the Holy Spirit, my friends. I think we've made too little of Him in our meetings. See, if Paul, just follow me on this. If Paul, one of the sharpest minds that most probably ever lived, that wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, okay? If he could surrender to the Spirit being in charge and not lean on human wisdom, why could we not? Well, I have a ton of answers to that. I think we intellectualism has overtaken us. The easiest thing today is to just Google something and you can be the wisest person on planet Earth based upon human intervention, human wisdom. You can find truth by the press of a button. But how much of that truth are you applying into your life? I mean, you can have every single study Bible that is known to man, but if you don't take that Bible and live it and demonstrate it, then it's useless. Somebody phoned me yesterday and said, I want to buy a study Bible. I said, great, buy a study Bible, but also have another Bible next to you where you can make notes in that Bible and scribble in that Bible the things that God is saying to you. If the sum total of your Bible study is that little bit that's at the bottom of your page of your study Bible, man, there's so much more. He wants to talk with you, talk to you. He wants to walk with you. Why do we depend on clever ideas? That's not so clever anyway. And try human marketing to draw people to our churches. Big billboards. Master and pastor, any twee kinders. Come to this family church. Come to this. We don't need clever interventions like that. We don't need clever marketing plans. We need the Holy Spirit. I've said this before in the outback in Australia. A lot of people, the farms are massive. It's big farms. But to keep the sheep, it's useless to try and build fences to get the sheep together. And they realize that because it's so vast and these animals will travel. But the one thing they realize is that the animal will always come back to water. The animal needs to drink water. So if there's a well of water that you find in Joshin Otsuwerang, then people will come back here for water. Not my clever preaching. Not the wonderful fellowship in our communities. Not the great kids' church. Not the wonderful worship or anything. You'll come back because you've seen and tasted the Lord and that He is good. You will come back to water. We need to sink. We need to create places, atmosphere for the Holy Spirit to move in our homes. If you want people to come to your house, you need two things. Hot dogs and Jesus. That's what you need. You don't need fancy things, fancy meals. You just need Jesus in your home. You need to have a well of life within your house. We need to create a place that people can come and people will go, I don't know why I'm so rustic. I want to kick out my shoes and kind of lie on your couch. Wonderful. Come lie on my couch. You must experience the Holy Spirit in my house. You must experience something of the Holy Spirit in our church. If the Spirit is leading us into all truth, does that include world evangelism? Wow, hey. I'm still struggling to tell the guy next to me about Jesus. That's one part of evangelism. He says, go to the ends of the earth. World evangelism. Well, I'm in Oudtshoorn. I heard a wonderful testimony. If you guys can go check it out on YouTube. There's a, a gospel singer called John Mark MacMillan. He just brought out a new album, a live album. And he tells a story about one of the songs. You know that song, How He Loves Us? You know that? He is jealous for me. Love like a hurricane. I am a tree, you know, bending beneath His grace and His mercy. So he tells the story. He says this friend of his came one night. They were young. He was a young singer, you know. And this guy came and he said to him, John, I've got a line, man. And this is going to make you famous. I've got a line for a song. This song is going to become famous. He's like, no, dude, it's not even a good line. And I don't want to be famous. He's like, no, man, you need to write a song around this line. It's a wonderful song. It's going to be a great song. He dropped that idea because it really, he said it was really not a wonderful line. And then his friend drove away and he never saw his friend again. His friend died that night. That friend wanted to evangelize the world. His heart was for evangelism and telling people about Jesus. He says he took a book. He was weeping for his friend that died. He took that simple little line that his friend gave him and wrote the song. And that album, that song, went right around the world. And it's evangelizing people. And people are singing it across the world. The little bit that you're doing might echo into eternity. A little bit. You think, wow, this is insignificant. I'm bringing a line to a song that might just be sung in churches around the world that people know. You don't know. That little bit in the hand of the Holy Spirit, trusting Him. We have to trust. World evangelism, how to grow a church, how to make disciples, and how to penetrate the culture. We're a difficult people. People don't want to hear truth anymore. They don't want to. They say, you are narrow-minded. If you tell them about Jesus, they'll say, you're narrow-minded. You know what, brother? I can afford to be narrow-minded because I know the truth. You don't. That's the problem. We penetrate culture. We have to trust Jesus meant what He said. That the Spirit is the Spirit of truth. People, I want to say, and if you remember one thing this morning, is that we need to unconditionally surrender to the Spirit and let Him lead us. I also believe that the Spirit is more obviously active in places where people are desperate for Him. If there's a desperation, the Holy Spirit pulls in. He's there. He sees that hunger. You know, like the psalmist that wrote that says, my soul longs after You, O God. Like a deer that is panting for water, so my soul longs for You, God. Where there's a desperation, the Holy Spirit is there. He says, I see it. I hear it. I'm there. A total surrender, unconditionally. People that are humble. A people that are desperate for Him. A people that is not distracted by their pursuit of wealth or comforts. It's nice to have nice things. And there's nothing against having nice things. But if your sole purpose in life is to pursue comforts and wealth, then you've lost your all. Then maybe you just need to pack a bag and walk into the mountains and see how awesome God is again. Maybe you just need to look around you. Maybe you just need to look at a newborn baby again and see how awesome God is. I have to yet meet somebody that's got too much of the Holy Spirit. You know, seriously. Well, that guy's got too much of the Holy Spirit. I still have to meet that person that's got too much of the Holy Spirit. Granted, I've met many who talk much about the Holy Spirit. I've met many who talk about Him too much. but none who are actually overfilled with His presence. I want to tell you, you can never be overfilled with His presence. Never. There's never a point of total saturation. I asked somebody the other day, hoeveel suiker is te veel in die koffie, to say wanneer die pintjie uitsteek? Did you get that? How much is too much sugar in the coffee when the little point is sticking out? Then you know there's too much sugar in that coffee. How much is too much of the Holy Spirit? How much is too much? I don't know. I don't know what is too much. I don't know what too much is. Is it possible to get enough or even too much God? Is it possible? Is there a point when a person can be satisfied with the amount of intimacy? Too much intimacy? You know, too much knowledge of Him, too much power of God. I don't see how there can be, ever. Because doesn't every encounter with God only cause us to thirst for Him more? I mean, after Sunday, last week Sunday, you kind of go, wow, I want more of that. Who felt like that? I felt like that. I was like, this week, I want more of you. And then the week hits you. And I've asked who had a rough week. And then Jean phones and she says, you know what, somebody just ran into my car, you know, work car. And then this thing is not working. And then a key is broken. And you know, all these little things. She says, I've never had trouble with my car. And all of a sudden, literally all hell just breaks loose. Like literally. People end up in hospital. And I want to honor Ria that's sitting here. Ria and Ludi. She was in hospital this whole week. When did you come? When did you uitgekom, Ria? Gister. Thursday. Colonoscopy and the whole jam. Everything. She's hungry. She's thirsty. She's desperate. She's here. What did Thomas miss out? Not Thomas that's in our church. Thomas in the Bible. What did Thomas miss out on that day? Jesus breathing on them. You know what? You can listen to this message and you can get a bit of what happens in the meeting. But he wasn't there. He missed out on the breath of God. Jesus breathing on them. That demonstration of the Spirit, really, in essence, that's what it means. The Ruach, the breath of God. Jesus breathing on them and say, go. And he missed out on that. And then he comes back and he's like, you know what? I don't know. I've got to see to believe. It's more difficult for him to catch on. We need the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I can stress this point more. To thirst more. Let me be clear. This is an acknowledgement that as believers, we can never be done with God. Years ago, there was a little book I remember. I just became a Christian. It was called The Arrival Kit. If you've worked through that book, then you'll know what I'm talking about. And it always bothered me. Because there's no arrival with God. There's no kit that you have a welcome to the fullness for the rest of your life. The arrival kit. There's no arrival kit. We never arrive. It's always more. It's always, I need you more, Jesus. But we also need to check our motives. Why we need more. Because if He gives you more, then you can minister more. Remember, Acts chapter 1 verse 8, he talks about that he will receive power from on high to be my witnesses. We ask for power, but we do nothing with that power. I mean, it's like having a V8 engine, but no steering wheel. It's like you have all the I pad it on it, but you do nothing with it. You go nowhere. You ask for power, you get this power, but then you go nowhere with it. You see, God is infinite. We are finite. We're just small. There will always be more of His character to discover, more of His love to experience, more of His power to use for His purposes. I can't say exactly what will happen when you admit that you can never fully know or experience enough of the Holy Spirit. You choose to seek Him regardless. I know only that when you surrender fully to the Spirit, Christ will be magnified and not you. John chapter 16 verse 14 says this. He will glorify me. The Holy Spirit will glorify Jesus. For He will take what is mine and declare it to you. When the Holy Spirit is amongst us, Jesus is raised up. And when Jesus is raised up, the Bible says, He will draw all men unto Himself. You see, the work of the Father in the Old Testament was always to point to Jesus. Jesus pointed to Himself. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. The Holy Spirit points to Him and says, glorify Him. It's beautiful how the Trinity works together. You know, perhaps when a person says, it's just like a little God, a little bit of God. Thank you very much. Just a little bit. He or she is really saying, I'd rather not give the parts of my life that I really care about over to God. So I'll just hold on to this or that or the other thing. I'll just hold on to it. People, it's not easy. It's not nice. When the Holy Spirit starts poking around in your life. I've said this before. Most of our houses have a Domini Kamer. You know the Domini se Kamer. You know the Domini se Kamer het die mooiste meubels in. Die Domini se Kamer in ons huis het die Noritake stel op display. Okay. Domini drink nooit tee uit die Noritake uit. Maar die Noritake is daar binnen in die kas, in die display kas. But that is the place. This is how far you allow the Domini to come into your house. Please don't come into the bedrooms. Because all hell just broke loose there. Don't come into the kitchen because my kids just went there. There's peanut butter sandwiches everywhere. Butter everywhere. Jam everywhere. Dirty dishes everywhere. That's exactly the Holy Spirit's job to come into our houses. Come into and start cleaning up from the front all the way to the back. And maybe you just need to open that door right in the back. That door when you had an abortion 15 years ago. That door. The door that I've been struggling with smoking for too long. That door that goes into the room where anger is. And the Holy Spirit is wanting to walk through your home and clean it out. But you need to allow Him to do that. You need to open the doors wide. You need to surrender. You need to submit. You need to say, Holy Spirit, have your way in this house. You can't ask for a little bit of God. That's like saying the Domini must just stay in the front of the house. He can't see. Always on display. That's the part that we allow Him in. You can't have a little bit of God. It's either everything or nothing. See, when I read Scripture, I see the truth and necessity of a life totally surrendered to be dependent upon the Holy Spirit. You see, Paul wrote in that 1 Corinthians, that verse, he says, we didn't come with wise and persuasive words, but rather a demonstration of the Spirit's power, in order that their faith might rest not on men's wisdom, but on God's power. And later in that same letter, he reiterates that the kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 20. In most churches today, I hear a lot of talk and the facade of human wisdom, but I don't see much of God's presence and power. Do you? And I am tired, my friends, of merely talking about God. I want to see God move through me. I want God to move through Joshua Generation Church in Otsaran and through the worldwide body of Christ. And I know that there is more. And I believe that we all know that there is more. There is more. There's more. I want to remind you that he is called the Parakletos. The Holy Spirit is called the Paraclete. And he is the one that should teach us about all things. He is the one that guides us into all truth. He brings all things to our remembrance, the Bible says. And he will glorify Christ by receiving of his and showing it to us, his disciples. That's why he's called the Comforter. And that's why he's called the Helper. Next week we will look at, what does he do? Really, what does he do? There's so much that he's doing and wants to do. And we'll look at scripture together to say, what is it that he's doing? But I wanted to just land with you this morning. Who is this Holy Spirit? And that we have given way too little time for the move of the Holy Spirit within our churches today.